Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, this is Kendra.
And I'm Ann, and we just want to thank you for listening in to Hannah's Heart today. We are a podcast/radio show that focuses on couples who struggle with infertility and miscarriage, but it's kind of grown to more than that, where we have covered adoption, you loving on other people's children as your children, and fostering. And so we've just been blessed by so many different conversations and learning how the Lord chooses to grow families.
Yeah, we know that that's a difficult season if you struggle with any of those things. And we just want to walk with you and encourage you to cling to Jesus, that He is enough. He's more than enough to get you through this season.
That's right.
Well, speaking of seasons of trusting the Lord, today we have an amazing guest on to talk about a book that, get this, I have almost finished reading. I have like 30 minutes left in the audio. I say read. I don't read anymore in life. Like, Audible is my friend.
When you said 30 minutes, I was like, okay.
Yeah, it would be a page count normally, but no. I had like New Year's resolution of like read one, like it started like read 5 books this year. And then I was like, I got to make reasonable goals. Read one stinking book, Kendra. Anyways, I am really proud of the fact that I actually have read most of this book, but let me back up. So I was in an infertility or fertility clinic lobby of a Christian fertility clinic, and they had a bunch of books on their shelf for couples struggling with infertility. And so I snapped some photos and was like, maybe some of these will be helpful. And one of them was called Wait and See. And I picked it up. Wait and See, Finding Peace in God's Pauses and Plans. And if you have struggled with infertility, the weight of the wait is heavy and crushing. Well, anyways, today's guest is the author, and she has done a lot of wonderful things. Wendy is the founder and president of Word Up Ministries. She's a wife to Scott and mother to her grown children, one daughter and one son. She speaks internationally at women's conferences, retreats, and leadership events, and she is very down to earth, transparent, and she's going to give us some real truth today. Wendy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I love that, the weight of the weight.
That is so true. The E-I-G-H-T.
Great phrase.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I think there's so much that we can learn from your story, not just to apply to infertility, but every single season of life.
That's just one of the things that I touch in the book, for sure.
Yeah, well, let's just jump right in. Can you tell us, like, what was the behind-the-scenes story of writing this book?
Well, there's just not a big mystery. I started out with Proverbs 31 Ministries many years ago. I'm not affiliated with them any longer, but when we started out with the speaking team, we were trained, and they said, you need to get 4 messages, at least 4 messages that you can take and you can speak on. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was raised in the church. I knew God's word, like the big stories, you know, the ark, Jonah, Jesus, those. But I had not, and I filled in my Bible study blanks. You know, I don't want to say I ignored church, but the word wasn't my life. The word was a part of my life, but it wasn't my life. So when God called me speaking ministry, I'm going to try to condense this. It was just way out of left field. I'm an educator. I've taught 4th grade. You know, I don't want to do anything above 4th grade because they're smarter than me. I was like, this is 4th grade is about as high as I can go, because you get to flip the fractions around in math. And you add letters,
I would be lost,
to the numbers, and it's just too much. So anyways, it was just way out of left field that God called me into ministry and then to speaking. And so I didn't know how to study the Bible. I was like, what does all of this mean? So I had just started reading the Bible in the process of trying to get pregnant and struggling with our marriage and what all of that infertility does to marriage. And I started reading the Bible in Psalms and just kind of fell in love with David and just learned some points of his life. And it developed into a message called What to Do in the Wait, W-A-I-T. And I started speaking, and that message was like my most popular message, and it just made sense to translate that into a book. It just bridged itself beautifully into a book and into a Bible study. And
well, I love
it wasn't intentional at all. It was by accident.
I love that you
God
tied
took the accident.
You tied David's story in throughout your entire book. So you start with him.
Yes.
And tell me about why David is such a great example of how we should wait.
Well, because David was anointed king early in his life. Some say as young as 10. Some say, you know, as old as maybe 15 or 16, if you want to consider that old. I mean, my 15-year-old son wasn't even taking a bath on his own when he was 15, much less being anointed a king. But he was anointed a king, but he wasn't appointed king until he was almost 30.
Wow, it's a long
time. Samuel whispers over David and anoints him out in the field there, and I think it's 2 Samuel 16. We don't know what he says to David's ear. We don't know if he says, you're going to be king one day, or you're going to be whatever. One day you're going to be ruler. But what we do know is that he heard, whatever he experienced, it says the Spirit was upon him from that day forward. But he didn't run to take his position in the palace and say, hey, Saul, get out of my seat. God has said, you're in my chair. He went back to the pasture and continued doing what he knew to do, and that was to be a shepherd. So that was pivotal to me in waiting for conception of a child and waiting on other things in our lives. It's pivotal that when we have this dream that we continue doing what we know to do until we know to do the next thing, whatever that might be. And that impressed me with David, that he waited that long and all the things that he endured. I mean, chairs thrown at him, spears thrown at him, hiding in strongholds, running from the man who's sitting in his chair, endless wars within his family, even before he took the throne, and then after he took the throne. His life is so rich. I encourage your listeners to sit down and start with his story at the very beginning and read all the way through into 2 Samuel. There's so many lessons there that we could unpack, but I'm going to let y'all drive our conversation because I could really take off and go, but there's just a lot to learn from David and his patience. And I don't want to use that word patience, waiting with God. We can wait. I don't like to say wait on God because wait on God implies that we're going to sit and do nothing. But when you wait with God, you are accompanying him, and he's accompanying you in those moments and in those seasons that are difficult. And we know that he waited with God because we read the Psalms that he wrote when he said, how long, God, are you going to allow this to happen? Taste and see that the Lord is good as he's running from Saul and he's hiding in caves. There's so much to learn from David.
Well, speaking of God waiting kind of actively, like he's not just like sitting with his feet up doing nothing, and we are doing that with God. There's a verse that you use through the whole book, Isaiah 64:4. That is like my life verse. I love that you tied that into waiting. Could you kind of unpack what God revealed to you about that scripture?
Well, there's no eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord can do for those who wait in him. And that word is also translated in Hebrew as hope. And I love that they are synonyms of one another and to one another there in that translation, because so many times we are waiting and we are hopeless. We feel like God is inactive, but he's never inactive. His word, Jesus said, I and my Father, we're always at work. you know, we're always working, he said. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't always feel like it. And so I love that we can say, we use that word hope or wait on the Lord. And no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Think of all the eyes and all the ears that have been in this world and what he has for those who wait or who hope in him is greater than that.
Greater than you can even imagine.
It's hard for us to fathom.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to fathom, truthfully. And so we've got to get to a place where, at least I was, with waiting on having a child, because we struggled with infertility, but also other dreams that I have waited to come to fruition, specifically with this book. It was a 10-year wait, and it was, this manuscript itself was denied or rejected or not accepted, maybe that's a better word, 9 times.
Wow.
So we've got to get to the place where we put our hope, we put our trust, and we put our faith in what has not been seen yet.
You said something interesting, I thought. You said you didn't want to call it being patient, but you wanted to call it waiting with God. What did you mean by that?
Well, I don't know. I think I've always heard in just in circles, don't ask for patience because God will give you reason to exercise it, that whole thing. And patience to me, or impatience, it implies that I'm sitting there like biting my fingernails, like I'm white gripping on something, like I'm holding myself back, you know. And waiting to me, when I say wait with God, it's I'm doing something.
Right. It's still a verb.
I am. It's I'm fulfilling my God is fulfilling in me each day, each season, each second, what he wants for me to accomplish in that moment. Yeah. And we're together. It's a journey that we're together on. Mm-hmm. I'm not just sitting here white knuckling and biting, you know, chewing off my fingernails and twirling my hair or maybe even pulling my hair out. I'm waiting for God to do something. I trust God to do something. And I'm waiting with him and I'm in this journey with him. And so it's just, to me, it's a different picture. I visualize. And the visual of that to me is a more beautiful picture than patience.
So,
and maybe that's just me.
No, I love it.
No, that's what caught my attention by, because yes, I've always heard, don't pray for patience. Yeah. Don't pray for patience. So when you said patience. That, I thought that was interesting for you to word it that way. I'm glad that you explained that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you talk about David as the example, but we know in his situation, there was a prophet of God that came and specifically told him he was going to be king. So the what he was waiting for was something kind of concrete.
Yeah.
When it comes to the case of infertility, what a lot of us struggle with is we don't know what's at the end of this season of wait. We don't know. Like, if it'd be so easy if God just said, I'm not going to tell you when, but you're going to definitely get a biological baby to hold. So what can you tell to our listeners, like, what are they waiting on or for if they don't know if a baby's coming?
Well, first I want to point out that we don't know exactly when David found out that he was going to be king. We don't know. That's one of the things that I said a few minutes ago. We don't know what Samuel said to him.
Mm.
We don't know when it came to his realization. Oh, in fact, there are people chanting and songs about him killing more, you know, David kills, Saul kills this many, even David kills this many, and blessed be the name of, you know, and all of these words were spoken out over David, and we don't know exactly when he found that out. And I think that's an interesting fact that we need to rest on. Yes, at some point he did know he was going to be king, but he didn't always know. And I think that is where we need to first hang our hat on, is we don't know. We don't know, but we know who.
Mm.
We know God. And we don't know exactly why that is not the dream, the hope, the expectation of being a parent has not been fulfilled in our lives. We don't know that.
You have a quote. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You, in your book, you said, Lord, help me replace the object of my weight with you, the God of my faith. That just resonated with my spirit, because we can turn, and you talk about this in your book too, about turning the object of our weight into an idol. And God, God's like, you're going to miss so much if you focus just on this one object, and I want to give you me in this season of weight.
Right, because we think the greatest thing we could have is a child. We think the greatest thing that we can have is a husband. The greatest thing we could have, just fill in the blank. But let me just borrow some words from Paul. He says that God is immeasurably more, super abundantly, can do more than we ever could ask or imagine. So what I would like to just encourage the listeners with today is, we think a child is going to make everything great. We think a marriage, whatever it is, whatever our blank is. But our God wants to do more, immeasurably more than whatever's in that blank. And we have to find a place, girls, that we are okay with God filling in that blank.
That's scary, because he might not put in the blank what I want to put in the blank.
It's so scary. It's so scary. And I'm just going to say, it is easy for me to say that because I have two children. I was able to conceive. But I know people who can also say that, who never did conceive. Who never did have children either, through adoption or through surrogacy, but are living lives that are full and surrendered to Christ. I mean, Jesus himself says, you've got to come to me and lose everything. You cannot love your life. You cannot love your wife. You cannot love your family, your mother, your brother, your sister, your father, any more than you love me. You can't. It's impossible. So there's so much richness there, and there's so much of our flesh that wraps around, but I want this. And God blessed people in the Bible with children. He even said, be fruitful and multiply. Surely this is God's plan for me. I can't answer that. You can't answer that for yourselves or for anyone else, but we can say that it is our Father's will for us to live in accordance to his word, for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by submitting ourselves to his ways, not adjusting ourselves to the culture around us that says, have a child, have a husband, have a home, these things. So when we get to that place, even know how long it takes to get to that place. But it takes an intentional and a disciplined heart submitted to God and asking God, help me get to that place to where this child, this whatever this blank is not my idol. Help me focus on you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of this will be added unto you. All of this is a child, maybe. All of this is a husband, I don't know. But it says, all of the things that I need, I will have when I seek God first. So we have to put our wants down, our wishes down, our dreams down, and we have to lay ourselves as a living sacrifice in front of God, climb up on that altar and say, I'm yours. And if we have to do it every day until we start feeling it, until it starts taking roots in our heart, that's what we have to do.
There's a girl locally.
I'm going through something. yeah, I'm going through something completely outside of all of this, but I'm having to practice the same principle of telling myself a truth that I'm finding hard to believe.
Yeah.
But I'm telling myself this truth until it takes root in my heart. So
right.
Even though I'm telling in the avenue of infertility and waiting, there is something that I'm personally going through that I know that I'm practicing these same words of encouragement that I'm giving today. I'm practicing them in my life.
Wow.
One of the things you said in the beginning about Hannah, it's scripture says year after year. Year after year, Hannah went.
That is true.
And we have to keep going to God.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep going to God and telling him what we need, what we want, but it might not be what he thinks we need at the time or what we ever need. Mm-hmm. But we've got to continue our relationship with God.
Amen.
That's so true. A girl from here that has my number now, she's a Hannah's Heart listener. We've been texting back and forth a little bit, and she asked me one day, she was like, so why do you think I have this desire to have a baby if this desire possibly is not going to get fulfilled? And from talking to her and praying for her, I feel like the Lord laid on my heart to just start praying for these, our listeners, but anyone struggling with infertility or a weight of whatever we're talking about. You know, to pray that the Lord will change your desires to his desires for you.
Yeah.
I feel like we all have to come to that realization that we can create our own desires, you know. And so we have to look to the Lord to see, God, is this your desire for me? And yeah, what do I need to do? You know,
and trusting that he really can change that desire. If his plan is something else for you, then he has something better for
and
me.
And it's really hard to get to that.
it's
really
scary.
Hard to say that. It's so scary.
It is. And that's one of the things that I've been teaching or learning and teaching over the years is that God's definition of good for my life might be different than my definition for good. God gets to define good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
and
knowing
I have
that
to be okay with that,
his character, leaning into that helped me a lot to trust whatever he says is good is actually going to be good for me. You know, I love the verse that talks about if any of you asks for bread, what good father would give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake. That our God is a good father. He really does long to lavish blessings on his children, just like we desire to be a mom, and we desire to do that to our child, to just be able to love and nurture and support them and help them through life. God, that's how he feels about us. So he's not this dingy God who has a limited number of biological children up in heaven that he's arbitrarily assigning to families. If he is not allowing you to have a biological child right now, it's because there's something better that he has for you. And it makes me think of my husband. He loves to give me surprises, y'all. It's so funny. He'll come home,
Eric,
and he'll say, close your eyes, you know, and hold out your hand, you know, and it'll be sometimes the silliest little thing, like cheese that he bought on the side of the road from a little Amish person. You know, it could be small things, but never have I not held out my hand. Never have I been like, no, I don't want whatever you have, because I know my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I know he loves me. It's like, whatever you got, I want it.
Yeah.
Like, you thought of me.
Right.
You know me. So of
course
you're going to think, now that's just the relationship I have with my husband, but God even more so knows you and he loves you and he wants to give you good things.
Mm.
Well, and also something you said, it triggered this thought too as well, is while we are waiting and it may just be more palatable to us to say while we are in this pause, you know, while we are in this pause, seek the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, is there anything in my life that is out of alignment with you?
Mm.
This is a time that you can join with your husband to pray,
for sure.
To serve, to immerse yourself in serving each other and also serving the church at large, but serving the community. And Lord, draw me close to you.
Mm-hmm.
So when this dream comes to fruition, I will be fully ready for it. Prepare me.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I say when and if I should say, because it doesn't always come. But one of the things that I teach in the book is that what God is doing in us in our pauses is He is preparing us for what He has already prepared for us.
Amen.
He is faithful and just to complete the work that He began in us, and His work is a good work.
Mm.
And so I look at the pause and the wait as a classroom where I want to sit and I want to listen and
Amen.
I want to soak in and I want to learn everything that God has for me so that I'm prepared for the next thing.
That's awesome. Right. Wendy, we're almost out of time. Real quickly, where can they find your book?
WendyPope.org. They can find everything about me on my website. Wait and See is available on Amazon.com. That's the quickest way to get it.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you all for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.